us off. There's a whole lot happening on the show today. Brian Windhorst with us. Windy, it's been too long, but good to see you over the screen. We got plenty to discuss with you. NBA trade deadline, 3 p.m. Eastern. Of course, Max Kellerman, Stephen A. Smith. I'm Molly Karam Rose. Fellas, let's get it. I also want to mention, I know you just said it, Stephen A., but Ray Lewis will be with us in Jim and Buddy Boeheim, so that'll be a lot of fun as well. Windy, talk to me. Who's the biggest name that could be dealt today?
The Raptors right now control pretty much the entire trade market because they have Kyle Lowry and they have Norman Powell, who is one of the more desirable role players. And those are the two guys who potentially could be the most affected guys get moved today. Now, as of yesterday, the Raptors weren't thrilled with their offers for Kyle Lowry. They're basically negotiating with only two teams, with Miami and with Philadelphia. And from what I can glean from people I'm talking to, neither one of them are putting the premium package that they could offer for Kyle Lowry. And that's frustrated the Raptors a little bit. And, you know, part of the issue is that Kyle Lowry wants a contract extension, or at least a new contract after this season, somewhere in the neighborhood of $25 million a year over 2 years. And that's an issue certainly for Philadelphia and could contribute to their hesitancy. But I think before we see anything major happen, we're going to see a Lowry trade. And the reason I think that'll happen first is that to do this deal for a guy who makes $30 million like Kyle Lowry does, it's going to have to be a 3 or 4 for 1 trade. Philly or Miami has got to send out 3 or 4 players for Kyle Lowry. The Raptors do not have enough roster spots to make that deal. So I suspect, and from what I've been told talking to other teams in the league, they will then potentially try to reroute some of the players that they receive out to a third team. And so that will take some time. And that's one of the things that's holding up some of the trades. But I expect Kyle Lowry to have a new address in either Miami or Philly by 3 o'clock.
Windy, always good to see you, buddy. I've missed you. Here's the question. I know we hear Miami. I know we hear Philadelphia. It's a two-part question. Number one, which team do you believe needs Lowry most of the two? And question number two, why are not the Clippers in the mix here as one of those primary teams, knowing how desperately they need a point guard?
So, Stephen A., the Clippers just do not have the ammunition to make the trade. They would need somewhere in the neighborhood of $24, $25 million in outgoing salaries. They have no first-round picks that they can trade, and they have no attractive young players that they can trade. Frankly, they just don't have anything that the Raptors are excited about, even though it would be great for them. And yesterday, there was some rumors going around that the Los Angeles Lakers were interested in trading for Kyle Lowry as well. But I frankly don't believe that that's true. I think that's a smokescreen thrown up by Toronto because they're trying to get better offers out of Miami and Toronto. And I know this is a little bit technical, so I apologize. But both the Lakers and the Clippers are hard capped. They have a hard cap that they could not go over. And so what that means is that they can't trade, you know, $23 million or $24 million in players and get back Kyle Lowry, who makes $30 million. They can't take that extra money. They have to trade $30 million in players to get back. And for the Lakers, that would possibly mean trading 3 or 4 rotation players. It's just not going to happen. It's not a realistic trade function. And the Clippers, the only player that they have who's young, who has any value, who would be interested in L.A. would be Luke Kennard. But Kennard signed a $56 million contract extension, and not everybody in the league likes that contract.
Now,
so really it's about Duncan Rob. Yes. So really it's about... Right now, from what I am told, Duncan Robinson is in the offer from the Heat to Toronto, and Tyler Hero is not. And the Raptors would really like Tyler Hero to be in that deal, but the premium package is not being offered. And from Philadelphia, they are permitted to trade 21 and 23 first-round picks to this year's pick in 2023. Plus, they have Tyrese Maxey, their young guard out of Kentucky, and plus they have Matisse Thybulle. They would like, in Toronto, they would like all of those pieces. And from what I have been told, Philly has not been willing to put that whole package in there. So part of the reason for this delay is that Kyle Lowry is not getting, you know, he's not drawing the offers. And part of it, Stephen A., is because there's only two teams bidding. And I think Philly could really benefit from him, but I'm not so sure they want to trade everything left they have in their trade bucket to get him.
Windy, we heard the Knicks might be buyers and then no, nothing major at the trade deadline. I'm looking at the Celtics and Danny Ainge's penchant for making moves and the fact that they have these two dynamic wings But they're not only competing for this year, they have to look forward at a conference that has a big three in Brooklyn where Milwaukee and Philadelphia keep getting better. Is there anything at all like a sleeper move that is on anyone's radar for Danny Ainge and the Celtics?
So here's the thing with the Celtics. The reality is, I don't know if their ownership is gung-ho on going into the tax this season with this team, with this Eastern Conference, where they're looking at Philly and they're looking at Brooklyn. Because, you know, even though it's a big market, the Celtics have been careful about spending in the past. And they're in a season where they're not having fans, they're losing money. Trading for a guy like Aaron Gordon would put them in the salary into the tax, would limit what they could do going forward, would take multiple young players or first-round picks, plus eat up a lot of salary. And I just don't know if that's the bullet that they want to fire right now. And I'm going to tell you guys something. If and when Aaron Gordon gets traded today, because I think he's going to, people are going to be in their feelings. Because my feel is that Aaron Gordon is not demanding a big package on the market. The Denver Nuggets are leading, as far as I've been told last night, and from what I've heard is being offered, it's not going to blow people away. And maybe Orlando doesn't do the deal because of it. But if he goes to Denver for, you know, a secondary starter and like a young prospect and like no first round pick, the fans in Boston are going to be upset. There's going to be players, you know, like Damian Lillard, who would love to have Aaron Gordon on his team, is going to be upset. There's going to be fans in Orlando who are going to be like, wait a minute, we heard Aaron Gordon was on and off the market for 2 years, and this is what you got? So I think there's a lot of dynamics pressing down the Aaron Gordon market, and it may leave the Celtics with some egg on their face if they let him go and don't make that deal.
Wendy, what team in the NBA right now do you believe absolutely positively needs to make a move? No matter what, they've got to find a way to make a move today. Who is that team?
The Clippers need a guard. And I don't know whether or not the Clippers can trade for a guard or if it's going to be something that they sign. But they need a guard. And I don't know. They won by 30 last night. There are times where they look great. But they have not been a good clutch team. At the end of last year, they have not been a good clutch team this year. Defensively is an issue, too. And so they made an offer for Lonzo Ball in the last week. That would be a very intriguing player for them to trade for. But I think that Lonzo there's a number of offers that the Pelicans have for Lonzo, and it's not even clear to executives out there whether David Griffin is actually going to trade Lonzo Ball or he's doing like some vetting to see who might be interested in him in the free agent market this summer. So that would be a great pick. But again, the Clippers are not permitted to trade any first-round picks. They do have a couple of second-round picks that they can trade. But to get any player back who makes a meaningful salary, like, for example, let's just say the Pelicans wanted to trade Lonzo Ball to L.A., you're looking at probably having to trade Lou Williams. So that's a guy who's a key part of their rotation. And so they're just in a bind with how to be able to get a guard. And I know that teams who have talked to them in recent days have asked about whether they'd be willing to put Marcus Morris on the market because they just don't have much to trade. And look, it's a good problem to have. It's a first world problem because they have a couple of all-stars in their starting lineup who they're paying a lot of money. But I think the Clippers, if they're going to win the West, need some support in that perimeter.
Okay, fair enough. Lonzo, Gordon, a lot of potential big names on the move here. Wendy, you'll be back with us in just a bit. Again, the NBA trade deadline is today, 3 p.m. Eastern. Thank you. Fantastic information. We will be in touch with you soon, and I'm sure you'll have more updates for us. Stephen A. and Max, I want to get back to Kyle Lowry, though. Obviously, Wendy bringing it up that it looks like the Lakers not likely. He mentioned Miami and Philly, but here's what Adrian Wojnarowski said in yesterday's trade deadline special. Kyle Lowry is very much available. Philly, Miami Heat, there are a number of teams engaged. The Raptors. They're going to work with Lowry on where he might like to play if they're going to do a deal. But here's one team not to rule out, the Lakers. Now, meanwhile, Lowry talked about being on the trading block following last night's Raptors win. Take a listen.
It was kind of weird tonight, you know, not knowing what the next step would be, just with, you know, understanding that there's things that could possibly be done on the front of me and then other guys in our team and in the organization. So it's kind of weird, I'm gonna be honest with you. But you know, it was great to get a win. It was great. It felt good to be out there. And, you know, it would have been, of course, it would have been crazier if it was in Toronto, I'm assuming, I would think. But it was different tonight, for sure. I mean, who knows what's going to happen? Like, no one knows what's going to happen. But it was definitely, for sure, different.
The unknown is always difficult, regardless of the situation. Stephen A., do this for me. Let's pretend he's going to the Lakers. If that is to happen, does that make them a title favorite?
No, it does not. The only thing that's going to make the Lakers a title favorite is the complete health of Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Kyle Lowry has nothing to do with that. And that's not to cast any aspersions on Kyle Lowry. I've been covering Kyle Lowry since he was in high school in Philadelphia when I was writing for the Philadelphia Inquirer, and then he went to Villanova. He's a rough rider. He's rugged. He's a rugged defender. Obviously, he can make big-time shots, as we saw en route to him helping Kawhi Leonard capture a championship in Toronto with the Raptors against the Golden State Warriors a couple of years ago, although we all know they probably would have got swept if Kevin Durant was healthy. At the end of the day, Kyle Lowry is a damn good basketball player. This is not to cast any aspersions on him, but when you look at what is transpiring in Brooklyn, New York, with that three-headed monster, assuming they show up to actually play instead of all three taking a night off, okay? Even though Kevin Durant's injured, and I understand that. The point is, if they're on the court together and healthy, they're going to be the favorites. Nobody is going to be the favorites above them unless Anthony Davis is healthy, which I don't believe is going to be the case, which is why I raised that flag, Max, yesterday when I talked about him and Kevin Durant, well, more so Kevin Durant than him, being out a bit longer than we expected. I think there's something suspicious going on. I don't think either is going to be 100% as it pertains to Anthony Davis, since that's the topic of discussion right now. If you recall when he first went down, I said, excuse me, I don't anticipate him being 100% at any point in time this season. And I think that's what's going to be required for the Lakers to be expected to repeat as champions. I don't think that's going to be the case, and that's why I say Kyle Lowry or anybody, I don't give a damn if it's Kyle Lowry, Lonzo Ball, it doesn't matter. If Anthony Davis and LeBron James are not healthy, the Lakers are not the favorites, period.
I see it differently. Surprise, surprise. I think it's possible that AD is never completely healthy this year, but the same thing is possible for Durant.
Yeah.
Okay? So I'm going to assume for a second that everyone's going to be healthy.
Okay.
That the Lakers are at full strength and the Nets are at full strength. Because that's really what we're talking about when we look at these two teams.
Fair enough.
And I have come around to thinking that even if the Lakers are totally healthy, they can't beat the Nets as is. I mean, they can't as strong, but I'm taking the Nets.
My way of thinking, you've come around.
I'm taking the Nets okay. Based on what I've seen. James Harden's playing out of his mind. Mm-hmm. So is Kyrie Irving. You add Kevin Durant, who's the best player on the team. I don't think they'll be able to be stopped because there are three of those dudes. Lakers got two of those dudes. Of those dudes, right? Who's Kyle Lowry? Like, Dennis Schroeder's a nice point guard. I think he's played so well, he's an average starting NBA point guard, which is a great thing. That means out of 30 teams, you're in that 15-ish range. Lot of really good point guards. It means you're a good player. Kyle Lowry's better than that. Because Kyle Lowry now has championship experience. Wasn't always that way. You talk about how he's a rough rider and this and that. Like, by the way, if he wound up in Miami, it'd be a reunion with Dragic. But remember when they were on the same team, who's better? We don't know. Kyle Lowry, throughout his career, to me, had issues in the playoffs. And Masai Ujiri challenged him when he got to Toronto and I think made him a better player. And with reps and experience in the playoffs, he got to be a championship player. And as you keep pointing out, what Kawhi needs to do, a championship leader, because he was the leader of the vocal leader of that team, right? That's what the Lakers need. They need a big three to counteract the big three in Brooklyn. That's really the only big three in the league. Kyle Lowry is just good enough, given his championship pedigree, given what he can do on a nightly basis, to be considered the third wheel in a legit big three. Like, people sleep on this. Last year, the Lakers had a big three because playoff Rondo is an all-star. He's not an all-star. Rondo ain't even very good, I think, most of the year. Playoff start, that's an all-star. So the Lakers had Rondo to go with LeBron and AD. Don't have that anymore. And maybe Schroeder can be that. Maybe, well, let's see if he can elevate, but we haven't seen it yet. We know Kyle Lowry can. The Lakers, if they got Kyle Lowry, would once again become my favorites to win it all.
Not for me. And I don't disagree with how you described Kyle Lowry. I'm with you there. I think he's a better version of Dennis Schroeder. I don't disagree with that. I definitely think he's a slight upgrade in that regard. He can make big-time shots. He can defend, etc. But I think that when you look at the Brooklyn Nets, this is Lethal Weapon 3. That's what it is. When Kyrie, James Harden, and Kevin Durant are on the court, it's Lethal Weapon 3. There's only one trio that can do something with that lethal weapon three. And that's if there was another KD on Golden State with Steph Curry and a healthy Klay Thompson. That is the only threesome that I believe can compete or exceed what this lethal weapon three can throw at you. They're just too sensational. And I think that they're too potent offensively, particularly from the perimeter and particularly from the free throw line. As great as LeBron is, and we all know that LeBron is the best, here's the reality. He's somewhat of a liability at the free throw line, particularly when you go compared to Kyrie, James Harden, and Kevin Durant, who all shoot better than 85% from the free throw line, okay? They're money from the line. We got to pay attention to that. Anthony Davis, sure there's no answer for him in the interior, even though he's capable of taking you outside. But he ain't Kevin Durant, okay? So when you look at LeBron with an Anthony Davis and a Kyle Lowry, even though that is a big three, and I definitely would respect Kyle Lowry by highlighting that, it doesn't compare to Brooklyn, which means, to answer the question directly, they wouldn't be the favorites. He doesn't propel them to favorite status over lethal weapon three in Brooklyn.
I think he does because at least, look, LeBron is the best, and we've seen that it takes more than one superstar to counteract him. Mm-hmm. And AD, if fully healthy, is mm-hmm. a whole, and it's a matchup problem every night.
Right.
They need a third guy. It doesn't need to be as good as Kyrie.
For the purposes of this show,
yeah.
Let's be very, very clear where I stand. If Kevin Durant is healthy, then I modify my position about LeBron being the best in the world.
Well, we have
Let
to
me
wait
be very, very clear.
We have to wait
if Kevin
see.
Durant is healthy, he's a problem.
Yep. We have
he's
to,
a problem.
We have to wait and see.
You understand?
And I don't know if KD is healthy, he's the best player in the world, better than LeBron.
He's a problem for LeBron. He's a problem for Anthony Davis. I'll tell you this.
He's never been better than LeBron
let
so
me,
far.
Let me, well, we beg to differ that finals, but I understand because he had Steph and Klay. But let me say this to you. KD, I promise you this, he's averaged 30 on better than 50%.
He's averaging 30 right now probably somewhere.
On better than 50% shooting. I promise you that.
Here's the issue with the Nets. It's never happened before, ever, mm-hmm. that you have three guys who can all get their own shot at historically elite levels and hit them from anywhere at historically elite levels. In the paint, finishing, from the free throw line, three-point range, mid-range, doesn't matter where. Mm-hmm. The Lakers need more ammunition, even if healthy, to
Which
counteract
Which is why
that.
They wouldn't be the favorites over Brooklyn.
No, Kyle Lowry's pretty good. Kyle Lowry's just good enough to be the third wheel in the big three.
Harden hasn't unleashed. He's busy trying to play point guard. He hasn't unleashed his offensive arsenal
and
in
KD
Brooklyn.
He hasn't even played.
Excuse me, you understand what I'm saying? It's not like Harden can't do more. He could, and he's been fantastic already. Keep sleeping.
Who's sleeping?
I'm just saying.
By the way, guys, Kyle Lowry turns 35 today, so happy birthday to him. No active
happy
player ever
man.
Has been traded on his birthday.
He's a good dude. He really is.
We'll see
is.
What city he's celebrating it in. That's for sure. It looks like he's got quite a few options, teams that are interested.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Get ready for this. Syracuse coach Jim Boeheim will make his 19th appearance in the Sweet 16, tying Roy Williams for the second most all-time, trailing only Coach K. Meanwhile, his son, Buddy Boeheim, first player with 6 3-point field goals in each of his first two games of an NCAA tournament since 2008. Showing up like his pops, we are pleased to welcome in both the father and son duo, Jim and Buddy Boeheim, to First Take. Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you so much for being with us. And let me just say this. Family is everything to me, and obviously sports as well. This is what I do for a living, and I'm really enjoying the tournament and having it back. It is so neat to me that you guys get to experience this together. Coach, tell me, what does it mean to you? Obviously, you've been to the Sweet 16 quite a bit, to be going through this with your son, who happens to be one of your best players.
It's been great. You know, obviously, when your son plays for you, you have an extra worry component to what you're doing. You're worried about your team, yeah, but you're also worried that your son does well. And it's fun to see him playing this way. And it's really more important because it's helping our team. And, you know, he's about winning. I remember during the season we weren't winning and he was playing well, but we weren't winning. And he was crying in his room about, you know, I just want to win. And that's nice to have from any player on your team. That kind of attitude, and that's what he's always had, and it's fun to be around that.
Buddy, welcome to the show, and of course, always welcome to the show, Coach. I always love talking to you. I got to get to you, Buddy, about this because, you know, I have been on the record stating that the greatest show in the history of college basketball was Dwayne Pearl Washington, who starred, obviously, for your dad at Syracuse. Of course, there's Carmelo, there's Billy Owens, there's Derek Coleman, there's Sherman Douglas, the whole crew, the list goes on and on. I want to know, coming into this season, knowing that you were going to be a fixture on this roster, being that Jim Boeheim is your dad, what kind of pressure was it like for you, knowing that you had some things to live up to because there is some tradition at Syracuse like I just highlighted?
Yeah, you're definitely right about that. Ever since I got here, there's been some pressure. If I have a bad game, he's only playing because his dad or this and that. And I think my freshman year got to me a little more than usual. I started off slow, so that didn't help, but once I started to prove myself more and more, I felt more comfortable and just felt like I had to go out there and try to win games for us. And I think this year I started off slow, but I just kept my head down and worked hard. And I got people like him believing in me, my coaches, my teammates. So that always helps. And just focusing on winning games and trying to help this team win. So it was tough at first, but I think I've adjusted pretty well.
Well, you're right about Pearl Washington, Stephen. As my oldest son who goes to Cornell and says, I love Stephen Smith. Now, usually Cornell guys are smarter than that, but, you know, I guess there's an exception to everything. But, you know, yeah, Pearl was one of a kind, but I've been lucky to have a lot of great players, and that's how you coach for 45. People ask me, how do you coach for 45 years? You get players like that and try to get them to play together, and it's been fun doing it. This year has been probably one of the most fun seasons we've had because we really struggled. We were struggling this year, and I'm sure Max and a few other people didn't think we should be in the tournament for a long time, and they were probably right until right near the end, and then we kind of did get together, and I think we deserved to get in, but it was close. It was a close call.
Everything you said is true, Coach, but back in 2003, I picked you guys way ahead of time to win the whole thing. I thought Carmelo was the best player in the world. But, you know, watching the tournament without Jerry McNamara, you guys don't win that thing. And I think that this is in a year so far, in a tournament with so many great stories, I think the Syracuse story is the best one. We debated that the other day. And part of it, Buddy, is the McNamara piece of it, where you're shooting, you can't throw it in the ocean, and he comes up to you and set the scene for me. What happened?
I'm shooting him in warm-ups, getting ready for the second half, and I just look over and he's looking at me with that look he always gives me. He comes up to me and says, I don't care if you miss 200, keep shooting, 200 in a row, keep shooting. I know you can make 200 in a row, so don't stop. And he always just tells me, sometimes he'll just look at me and be like, who's the best shooter on the planet? And I just say, me. And he gives me that confidence. I work with him more than anyone every day for an hour, hour and a half, and there's no one better to have in your corner than him.
And it's still pretty close as to who's the best shooter. It's a close call. They shoot a lot. They shoot every day. It's kind of like when I used to watch Clay and Steph shoot in the Olympics. I watched them shoot every day after practice. And you looked around when they missed one. It was that crazy.
Wow. Coach, you know what? This is a beautiful conversation, but you got a tough matchup coming up. I mean, Houston is no joke. This kid Grimes hits like 42% from three-point range. I'm watching them right now. What kind of a threat do they pose to you guys, and how are you going to win? How are you going to beat them to advance to the Elite Eight?
Well, we're not going to tell you how we're going to beat them, but we're, you know, they're in the top five in the country in defense and offense and efficiency. That's the best. That's the best there is. So when you're playing a team that's good on both ends of the court, you know, that's a tough matchup, but. The great thing about this tournament, you look at Loyola over Illinois, you look at Oral Roberts, you look at, you can look at a lot of teams right now. A month ago, Oregon State wasn't even going to get in the NIT, and now they're in the Sweet 16. So that's college basketball. It's a great thing. Guys leaving early, you know, guys going to the G League early, brings the top-level teams down a little bit, and it just makes it more equitable. This new transfer rule, getting everybody out there, there'll be transfers all over the country. That'll make it a little bit even more equitable as we move forward. And it'll be hard to get a tournament where there's a clear favorite, which there is this year. I think Gonzaga is a clear favorite. But it's nobody would be surprised if they did lose a game in this tournament.
Buddy, I got to ask you because, listen, you can't fly under the radar anymore. You're on national television. You're on First Take, baby. Everybody knows who you are. Everybody knew who you were because you're hitting jumpers all over the place in the conference tournament, not the NCAA tournament. You're going up against Houston again. They're an elite defensive team, and now you're in the eye of the storm. How are you going to handle this, sir?
Just same way as always. Put my head down, have a great week of practice and workouts, and I know that they're going to be chasing me off screens and always keeping an eye on me. So just moving without the ball, playing with my guys, and just trying to go out there and win and not force anything, let the game come to me. And I know my teammates will help me out, and they'll make big plays as well. They've all contributed and helped us just as much as I have in this run.
Coach, I'm sure you'll bristle at this, but this is what we do in the media is tell oversimplified stories, right? So here's one way I look at this tournament right now. The 2-3 zone, right? Essentially, this is an oversimplification. To me, you're daring college kids in a high-pressure situation to beat you from the outside, but guys can shoot so much better now. You're going to also have to be hitting shots from the outside. And who on Syracuse is tasked with hitting those big shots? Buddy Boeheim. Is that does that capture anything that's going on right now on this team?
You know, Joe Girard hits him, and Alan Griffin hits him, and Quincy Gary can. Sure. If you have one guy that can shoot, you wouldn't be playing right now. So, and the other side of that coin is we don't like people to shoot, make threes against us. We were second in the ACC in three-point field goal percentage defense. So, I mean, our defense isn't a zone stand there, okay, shoot. We're guarding the three-point line, and, you know, that's important. And you're right when you say things like that. It shows that you're a good talk show guy.
Coach Boeheim, I will leave you with this because I think it's an important note. Obviously, you guys have your hands full. Houston's a 2-seed, but I'm looking at this note right here. You have 17 NCAA tournament wins as an underdog. That is 5 more than any other coach ever, so you know how to deal with resiliency. So we'll leave it on a high note, and the apple doesn't fall far from the tree with your son. Thank you guys so much for being with us this morning. This really was a lot of fun to have you on First Take.
Thanks, Molly. You deserve combat pay for these working with these two guys. That's all I can say.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Bucs are ready for more. Tampa Bay finalizing a $10 million deal to bring back defensive tackle and Dominican Sue on a third straight one-year deal, a source telling our Adam Schefter. The Super Bowl champions also agreeing with offensive tackle Donovan Smith on a two-year $31.8 million extension. Sources also telling that news to Adam as well. Max Kellerman,
yep.
You're the expert on all things Tom Brady because you're so wrong, you're right. Everyone knows what it is. Tell me this. Which team stands in the way of a Bucs repeat?
The Green Bay Packers stand in the way. Let's be very clear about this. The Bucs beat the brakes off the Packers in the regular season. It was the Packers' worst performance. But by the time the playoffs rolled around, let's think about what happened in that game. Bakhtiari wasn't on the field. That's their best offensive lineman, and Aaron Rodgers' blindside protection, JPP, ate up the backup. That was a huge part of the game. It's not just that the Bucs got lucky with injuries against the Chiefs' starting offensive line. It was also against the Packers. And in spite of that, if Aaron Rodgers doesn't blunder, it was a blunder. He had daylight to the end zone. You're at least going to get to say this 2 or the 1 yard line. And then the coach wouldn't have blundered if he don't punch it in. He may have scored on that play. And then the coach blundered. It took a blunder by the quarterback and then by the coach on consecutive plays. Otherwise, I think the Packers probably win that game. I mean, who knows, but I think so. The point is, that was the case in spite of the fact that instead of bringing in reinforcements, they used their top draft pick to draft Aaron Rodgers' eventual replacement. That's what they did in the first round, right? Well, think about the Packers. They're a very well-rounded team that could have beaten the Bucs, and that was in the NFC Championship game after consecutive 13-win seasons. But now they ain't using their first-rounder to get Aaron Rodgers back up. They can address the offensive line. They can address the secondary because they have that one corner, King, who gets picked on, right? Okay, so that's a hole in the defense. You can go get an offensive lineman with your first or second-round pick. Same thing with a corner. That's really all they need. What else do they really need? A third receiver? Because they have really good receiving core. Maybe they could use a little depth there. They have really good backs. They otherwise have a good offensive line. They have a great quarterback. And they have a good defense with the exception of, you know, the back end of the defense, one guy. So, to me, they're going to be able to address this. They should be able to address this in the draft relatively easily. They don't have a lot of cap room. And that should put them over the top, I think. I suspect that after draft day, I'm going to be taking the Packers as my favorites out of the NFC.
Well, you go ahead and suspect it all you want to, but I got news for you. When you talk about defense, don't put them in the same sentence as the Los Angeles Rams, because that's who I'm going with. When I think about Los Angeles, I do recall we being just 24 hours removed from you raving about Matthew Stafford and the kind of impact that he could have on with the Los Angeles Rams. What did you engage in? The selective amnesia for a second there? I'm not going with that. I'm going to look at Matthew Stafford. By the way, succeeding Jared Goff, who completed 67% of his passes last last year. And we're calling this an upgrade, okay? So, again, you got Cam Akers as your running back, Darrell Henderson, both average better than 4 yards a carry. You still got Robin Woods and Cooper Kupp there, okay? They both think it near 1,000-yard receiving yards, considering the troubles that they were having last year on the offensive side of the ball. You combine that with a defense that was number one in points allowed, number one in yards allowed, number one against the pass, number three against the rush. Excuse me, you got Aaron Donald on your front line. You got Leonard Floyd up in there. You've got Jalen Ramsey in the secondary. I'm looking at the Los Angeles Rams. I don't expect their defense to take a step back at all. I expect them to be exactly where they were last year. You combine that with what our expectations are of Matthew Stafford. I'm assuming that you're going to be effective and efficient enough during the regular season where you ain't going to have to go someplace like Lambeau Field to play a playoff game. And I'm looking along those lines and I'm saying, excuse me, I am not sleeping on the Los Angeles Rams by any stretch of the imagination. I anticipate that the Rams are going to be a big-time threat to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I'm not saying that Green Bay can't. I'm not saying that's a bad selection, Max, but I'm tired of the Green Bay Packers getting chances. 13-3 back-to-back years. We want to act like Matt LaFleur's arrival is what did it, when in fact it's been the same consistency at the quarterback position in Aaron Rodgers, who continues to be unappreciated, underappreciated at the very least. I don't give a damn they had a conversation with him, went and talked to him, asked him before they gave him money in excess of $6 million as opposed to restructuring his deal. In the end, as an organization, you have not taken care of Aaron Rodgers. You have not listened to this man tell you what he wants, and you have not given him exactly what he feels he wants and needs in order for this team to be successful. So I'm not going to continue to have faith in the Green Bay Packers. I'm going to go with the coaching of Sean McVay. I'm going to go with the leadership of Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey on the defensive side of the ball. And even though I'm not that damn sold on Matthew Stafford, hell, I wasn't sold on Jared Goff, so we can go with it from there.
You know one thing that you're missing, Stephen A?
Sure, I'm listening.
Surprised.
I'm sure. I don't miss much, but you could try.
It just, you know, it seems to me, I don't know how you feel about it, but I certainly think that Aaron Rodgers is a bad man.
He's a bad man.
He's a bad man.
He's a bad man.
Aaron Rodgers. So it's not that I'm down on Matthew Stafford. I think he'll be an MVP candidate, but that don't make you Aaron Rodgers.
No, I don't think he'll be an MVP candidate. Now, I don't think he needs to be.
Well, Aaron Rodgers, you say, was consistently in the quarterback position. It's not McVay. I disagree. Look, a couple years ago, new coach, new system. Aaron Rodgers, learning the system, looked like he was, like, maybe declining already, right? More of a game manager. Okay. Wins 13 games and the playoff game against Russell Wilson and the Seahawks.
Okay.
That's a successful year.
All right.
The next season, are you heading in the right direction with this coach? Now Aaron Rodgers knows the offense. Now he knows the coach. Wins 13 games, winds up in the NFC Championship game with chances to win.
Mm-hmm.
Third year, he's going to know it even better. He has all his weapons, and they ain't drafting the quarterback this year. So all the signs, all the arrows are pointing up in the right direction for Aaron Rodgers. I don't believe that Rodgers will be held to one Super Bowl in his Packers career.
I sure hope not.
I think this season, Aaron Rodgers is very live to win it all.
Nothing would make me happier. I would be very, very happy for that man. But I don't think he's surrounded by the people he needs to be surrounded by.
Somehow, some way.
I'm talking about coaches and executives with the Packers organization. I don't believe that. Listen, you do have organizations. Max, I got news for you. This might be very, very shocking to you. I mean, which would be a shock to me considering the fact that I call you Max Mediocre because you don't give a damn about the regular season and stuff like that when it comes to the NBA and things of that nature.
That's the opposite of mediocre.
All right?
You care about the regular season.
I care about it.
Talk to me about the championship.
The paying customer out there deserves to be appeased.
Well, the money's on the line.
All I'm saying to you is this. I look at the Packers as an organization. And I find them to be somebody that will find a way to get in Aaron Rodgers' way. And here's the big thing that I want to mention. You do have some organizations, Max. It ain't even about winning the chip. Their thing is about maintaining a high level of competitiveness. If we're in the race, if we're in the picture, we did our job. But do you really, really go for it? And I'm saying to you, I can make a legitimate argument that Green Bay hasn't done that because they haven't given Aaron Rodgers everything that he says.
They're going to draft it. Watch this. They're going to draft a tackle. They're going to draft a corner. They may draft
the
wideout.
What round?
I think they take the tackle first.
Okay.
I think the corner next, but that could reverse.
Okay.
And they're going to draft a wideout to give him another weapon.
Okay.
And they're going to be impossible.
Okay. Impossible.
They're going to be impossible.
Impossible. No. You're not impossible when you find a way to get in your own way.
Time will tell. They got a real coach.
They got, listen, okay.
LaFleur, you can say whatever you want about his name. He can coach.
Okay, whatever.
See, one bad blunder.
Let me see what he's doing when Aaron Rodgers ain't throwing the football for him. Then come call me. I'm not saying he can't coach, but don't sit there and
rave. He can't go to football for him when coach takes it out of his hand because it's Tom
like he's
Brady.
The second coming of Barcells, Belichick, or Lombardi. He's got Aaron Rodgers. Let's see what he does then.
Takes the ball out
Let's
of there. We've already
then.
Seen it.
And listen, right. Let me tell you something right now. I think I could pull off something
Tampa
on
Bay
the football
has
field
the
as a coach if I had Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback.
By Green Bay. Then the Rams. All right. Stephen,
hey,
I'm very disappointed in you. I can't believe you went against that bad man. I don't know
Molly,
what that's about.
May I ask you a question?
It's whatever.
Tell me one coach
sure,
that you
Stephen
think
a.
would lose if Aaron Rodgers was their quarterback. That wouldn't have
Mike
a respectable
McCarthy.
Record.
One
that wouldn't have, he had a respectable record.
Nah, by the end, not so much.
But Stephen A., that's not even a fair question because we already know what it is. It depends who's around him. It depends what he has for passing, line, defense, the whole thing.
How
you
would
know?
Jeff
so
Fisher do?
It's not just based on a coach.
Huh?
We know
How
this.
Would Jeff Fisher
even
do?
Jeff Fisher couldn't
oh
mess
God.
Aaron Rodgers up with so much.